We want to present righteousness. That's why everybody shows such a great face.
But Jonathan Evans says we need to make sure our source of virtue is legit.
Going to the world for righteousness is no different than going to the water to dry off.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. From the ancient Greeks to Shakespeare to Mark Twain, it's been said that clothes make the man. Well, in a special message today from Jonathan Evans, we'll discover there's actually a biblical basis to that age-old cliche. Let's join him as he explains.
Genesis chapter 3:21 simply says, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them." The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Adam and Eve were already dressed. So why would God put more clothes on them when they were already covered? It was something about what they were wearing that was insufficient to God. If you think about God as a stylist and he's coming through the garden, as it says in chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, in the cool of the day, and he sees Adam and Eve, he must have been unsatisfied with what they covered themselves with. There was a covering that they had on, and then in the same chapter, it says the Lord God reclothed them. So I can hear him going through the garden in the cool of the day and approaching Adam and Eve and seeing what they were wearing and saying in the old Dallas slang, "What y'all got on? Where you think you're going in that? What you have on doesn't match where this story is headed. So I need to change your clothes because you're not wearing a true covering that can take you where I'm taking you. You're wearing something, but what you're wearing, you're not wearing it right. I need to change your clothes." And there's many a Christians today who are claiming Christianity while wearing the wrong clothes. And we're wondering why God isn't taking us, and maybe he's saying, "You're simply not dressed for the occasion. You're wearing something, but you're not dressed right." Understand that God cares about what we're wearing. All through the Bible, he talks about what you're wearing. If you go to Matthew 22 and you look at the parable of the wedding feast, Jesus comes and he returns his second coming. He will be wed to his bride. He invited some guests into the wedding feast. And then he noticed that there was a man in there that was improperly dressed. And he told that man that was improperly dressed, "Go to the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, because you thought it would be okay to come to my wedding feast without the right outfit on. You can't come to my wedding feast unless you're dressed for the occasion. I have a dress code. And if you're not wearing the dress code that's conducive to where this story is heading, you may be dressed, you may be covered in your way, but you're not dressed and covered in my way. And I'm the one running this show because this is my wedding feast." This one verse gave me pause because he reclothed Adam and Eve when they were already dressed. There must have been something about this verse. The Lord God clothed them with garments of skins, Adam and his wife. He didn't like what they were wearing. You're saved, but does God like what you're wearing? I remember when me and my wife were going out on a date early on. She married an athlete now. When I say that means when it comes to dress, I'm just like, you know, I want to be comfortable. Just give me some basketball shorts and a T-shirt, and I'll try to dress it up with some Jordans, you know. I just walk out the house like this with a slow limp, you know, just trying to make it. I just want to be comfortable. And she said, "Okay, we're going on a date. Go ahead and get dressed." I said, "How much time we got?" She said, "Well, we got about 40 minutes. I said, "Well, call me in there when we got 10 minutes left. I don't need that much time to put on my basketball shorts and my T-shirt and dress it up with some Jordans." She said, "Man, get in here and get your clothes on so we're not late." So I go in there and I get my T-shirt. I saw some shorts on the floor. Those will work. I put those on. I put my Jordans on to try to dress it up a little bit. And she came into the closet where I was getting dressed, and she was combing her hair. And then she stopped and dropped. Now, my wife has two facial expressions. She'll either smile at you, she'll give you one set of teeth, or she'll give you both sets of teeth. And she came into the closet and gave me both sets of teeth. She said, "And when she really doesn't like it, she talks with both sets of teeth. is that what you're wearing? And, you know, I'm like, what is that, a leading question? Yes, this is currently what I have on. Yes, ma'am, this is what I'm wearing. It starts making noise. She came into the closet, moved me to the side. She picked out a button up, got some jeans, you know, gave me some shoes. And she said, can you please put this on? Please. Can you please put this on? I said, okay, but why do I have to change my clothes? She said, because what you're wearing is not conducive to where we're going. And threw her head back and walked out. I said, what? Okay. What I was wearing was simply not conducive to where we were going. The question is what you're wearing conducive to where this story is headed? There's many of us that claim Christianity and we're dressed like a heathen. And God is saying, you look good to you and you look good to other people, but I'm showing you both sets of teeth. Because you're simply not dressed for where this thing is headed. And God clothed them with skins, Adam and his wife. It's amazing to me that Adam and his wife, they went to the environment to find their covering instead of going to the God that they've offended in the environment that they're in. They're chasing after the world and covering themselves with the environment instead of going to the God that will give them the true covering in order to move forward to where this story is headed. And there's many Christians today that are chasing after what the environment has to offer to cover ourselves so that I can at least look good in front of you. Adam and Eve at least looked good in front of each other. They covered themselves with the fig leaf so that they could at least cover up the issues in front of each other so that their issue would be a non-issue so that they could return back to the state where they didn't have issues. And I at least want to present to you that I'm covered. I at least want to present to you that I'm secure. I at least want to show the right face. We've become professionals in this culture of getting likes and people following me and wanting to be liked and wanting everybody to see my pictures and what I have going on. We've become professionals at covering ourselves well while God has still given us both sets of teeth. Because of the culture that we live in, many people dress nice from a dirty closet. Oh my God. And we seem to think simply because people who are around us are applauding us, simply because the culture is saying, oh, you look nice, good job, good career, good house, good car, you put yourself together well, you pray well, you always come to the front, you always raise your hands, you're here on time, and I applaud you, but understand the applause of man and the applause of God are not synonymous. But that's the culture that we're in. If I could be honest, there's men in the Christian world that do not love their wives, but they'll be at church on time and they'll button up their tie and they'll be saying Pharisaic prayers and they'll join the leadership team. They'll become deacons. They'll do all of those different things. And everybody is thinking one thing and God is thinking something totally different. He's coming into your garden in the cool of the day and he's saying, what are you wearing? As I was reflecting on this in my own study, it made me look at the closet of my heart and wonder, Jonathan, what do you have on? Because one day he will return, his wedding feast will start. You are invited. Don't get kicked out. It seems to be that what we should be thinking about is what I have on. And I guess it wasn't the exterior from the environment and what the environment could bring and what the environment could provide. But if you think about it, we sure are chasing. Y'all, we're chasing. We want that. Let me get that. If I can just get here, somehow the environment has the ability to provide the security, protection, and covering that God provided Adam and Eve before they had the problem. They went to the environment. Let me get that. Let me get that. That makes me feel better, at least in front of you. And God is saying, is that what you're wearing? That's not where this story is going. That's not going to cover you. But Adam and Eve, what did they do? They found, they weren't stupid. Adam and Eve had perfect brains before sin. They had already surveyed the garden. So I'm sitting here thinking about this. Well, then why did they choose fig leaves? Fig leaves were large leaves. If you wanted to get some shade from the sun, sit under a fig tree. Because there's some large leaves that are not easily torn. They're even in the East right now in the marketplace. You can go shopping in the marketplace and they will place your fruit in a fig leaf and wrap it in a fig leaf so that you can carry your fruit through the marketplace. Or if you're buying a lump or a cake, they'll wrap it in a fig leaf because they are so large and so strong, and then they will tie them together and put a little pretty bow on it so you can present it as a gift to someone. They are valuable, they are large, and they are strong. And Adam and Eve went to the things in the environment and the things in the world that were valuable, large, and strong. Oh, come on into my house. It's valuable and it's large and it's strong. Let me give you a tour. Oh, yeah, this is nice. You got that. Oh, yeah, you got that. You got, oh, yeah, yeah. Let me give you a tour. And it makes me feel better about myself that you like it. Never mind that it's never become a home. Never mind that we're fighting all the time in it. But as long as you like it, let me give you a tour of this. And we're chasing after these fig leaves. As long as they're big, the biggest in the culture, as long as they're strong, and they're definitely valuable in the marketplace, but just because it's applauded in the marketplace doesn't mean you won't get kicked out of the wedding feast. And I'm looking at this one verse. And God clothed them with garments of skins, Adam and his wife. So I started looking at what I'm wearing. Because there's many of us in the room that are not conscious about the life that we're living. You see, your dress represents your life. And when we go before the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to notice our life by how we're dressed. And whether we're really ready for the occasion. Adam and Eve, you have this problem, but don't go to the environment to solve the problem. Go to the God who knows how to cover you within the environment that you're in. It's amazing how they were covered when they were naked. But all of a sudden, even though they covered themselves, they felt naked because they hid from God. And we're getting further and further from God, chasing after the environment. And we cover ourselves up while simultaneously feeling naked. But I could have little. But if I have God, I have a lot. I'm dressed.
Jonathan Evans will have more on wearing appropriate spiritual attire when he returns in just a moment.
Too often, it's an us versus them society, even among believers. It shouldn't be like this, and it can't be like this. Unity is key to spiritual victory, and when believers stand shoulder to shoulder in prayer, darkness is overcome. In his book, Stronger Together, Weaker Apart, Powerful Prayers to Unite Us in Love, Dr. Tony Evans urges you to unite in prayer, providing a starting place and then inviting you to pray in your own words. Find out more about Stronger Together, Weaker Apart. Visit TonyEvans.org.
Stronger Together, Weaker Apart is the perfect prescription for the separation and discord tearing apart our nation, our churches, and even our families. It's more than just managing to grit your teeth and get along. This collection of soul-searching prayers and devotions will teach you how to actually love people you disagree with as you work toward spiritual unity. We'd like to send you a copy of Stronger Together as our way of saying thanks for your contribution to help continue Tony's ministry on the air and around the world. Along with it, we'll also include all 14 full-length messages in his current two-volume teaching series, Turning a Nation to God, first as instant digital downloads, then on CDs that'll come to you along with the book. But this is a limited-time offer, so don't delay. Contact us right away at TonyEvans.org or give our Resource Center a call at 1-800-800-3222, where one of our team members will be happy to help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. I'll have that information for you again after part two of today's message. Here's Jonathan Evans.
I was with my son Camden. If y'all seen my son Camden, you know, that's my mini-me. He is my strong-willed child. I have two. I have Kelsey's strong-willed, but Camden takes the cake. We put a baby gate up when he was about 18 months to keep him from going up the stairs. This boy went to the outside of the stairs and went up. So he's swinging from the stairs. I'm like, where is Camden? Boy, if you don't, this boy. Because he's determined to do what he wants to do. We're walking down the stairs and I'm holding his hand. He's only about 20 months. I know he can't get down the stairs by himself. But he's steady yanking his hand away from my hand. And I'm trying to step. Boy, stop. Stop. You can't go down these stairs by yourself. Camden? And he just, yeah. I don't know what he's saying, but it wasn't nice. And so I let him go. We only had one step left. I ain't gonna let my son tumble all the way down. Isn't it nice to know that God won't let you tumble all the way down? But I did let him go on that last step. Because I knew his legs were too short. As soon as one leg goes off, the other leg is gonna come off before the first leg gets down. Something bad's going to happen, but he insisted on doing it his own way. And sometimes God will just let you do it. I can't make you believe. I'll let you learn to believe the hard way. So I let go of his hand and kasplat. He recognized he should have stayed with Daddy. When he was hurting and I'm standing there like this, he came straight to his father, crying in a position with his arms up. Pick me up, Daddy. Pick me up. It's amazing when we have those moments of nakedness. After we've yanked away, we've gone our own way, we've tried to cover ourselves up our own way, and we fall flat on our face, and then we turn around, we're right up here at the altar. Pick me up, Daddy. Pick me up. And to this day, I'll go ahead of Camden on the stairs and he'll say, Daddy, wait, wait, wait. That boy ain't coming down them stairs without his dad. Because now he knows better. Adam and his wife were naked and they recognize that they were created for righteousness precisely because of the sin. You don't recognize things unless you were created for the opposite. Let me explain. If someone tells you life is purposeless, the word purposelessness would have no meaning unless they were created for purpose. There is no meaning in the term. If I was created for it, if you put me in a dark world and you gave me black eyes and I was created for darkness, then the term darkness would have no meaning. The only way darkness has meaning is if I am in the light. Now I can tell you it's dark and the term means something. Adam and Eve recognized that they were created for righteousness precisely because of the sin. And when you fall on your face, you recognize that I need to be covered, I need to be secured, I need to be protected by none other than God himself. This world can't get it done. The problem with Adam and Eve is that they ran to the culture for righteousness. They knew they were covered when they lost their covering. Then they tried to cover themselves to go back to the covering they had, which was God's original intent. That's exactly what we do. We're just doing it the wrong way. We want to present righteousness. That's why everybody shows such a great face. That's why everybody dresses well. That's why everybody presents things a certain way, because embedded in you is the image of God and you were made for righteousness. That's why you defend yourself even if you're wrong, because you really want to be right. Because you were created for righteousness. But going to the world for righteousness is no different than going to the water to dry off. Your direction has just contradicted what you were put here for. And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Well, now you know why. Because it was unacceptable dress. But what made God's garments better than the environment's garments? Why was God satisfied by the skins when he wasn't satisfied by the leaves? Well, you know the obvious answers. Well, God made it. They made those. God did the work. They did the work. We know those answers. We've been in church a long time. But as I thought about the Bible, and I thought about what Genesis 2:17 says, Genesis 2:17 says, Adam, the day you eat from this, you will surely die. Adam lived till he was over 900 years old. You say, well, he died spiritually. No. For the wages of sin is that you're going to die literally. Okay, people die. We die because of sin. The body's contaminated. It's got to be put to rest. You get a new body because that one's contaminated. Adam's body and his wife's body are contaminated. They're supposed to die. The day you eat from this, Adam, you will surely die. Then why you didn't die? It was a promise from God. Ah, the Lord God made garments of skins and clothed them. Now you got to discover where God got those skins. You see, in the garden was the first sacrifice. God sacrificed an innocent lamb in the garden. He took the skins off of the lamb and placed it on Adam and Eve as a constant reminder that the only reason why you live is because that innocent lamb died. The propitiation for your sin has been covered. I am satisfied. And now your clothing shall be a testimony to everyone who comes after you that this is the way you get this done. This is the way you're supposed to dress. And this is the way that you can stay as a part of the wedding feast. I wonder if there's anybody in here who's living a life of testimony that the only reason why I live is because he died. The only reason why I'm here is because there was an innocent lamb who was slain for me, and I'm taking the skins off of him and I'm putting it on him, so I am wearing the righteousness of Christ. Why do you think Cain got in trouble? He brought that bogus sacrifice and he's looking right at the skins of his parents. He's looking at the testimony and choosing to do it in a different way. And as I look at the testimony of the generation who has come before us, how in the world can I choose to do it a different way? I will be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I will be clothed in the innocent lamb who was slain so that I can move forward and go to the place where God is calling me to go. If there's anybody in here under the sound of my voice that understands that the only reason why you live and the only reason why you're here is because Jesus Christ was the innocent lamb who was slain to give you the opportunity to chase the destiny that you have.
Pastor Jonathan Evans will come back in a moment with a final challenge to wrap up today's program. But first, if you'd like to get the full-length version of today's lesson, which includes material we couldn't fit into our program time, just visit tonyevans.org for details on the message called, What Do You Have On? And while you're there, you can also take advantage of that special double offer I mentioned earlier, Tony's two-volume audio compilation, Turning a Nation to God, and his powerful devotional book, Stronger Together, Weaker Apart. They're yours as our gift to you when you make a contribution to help us keep this program on this station each day. This is a limited-time offer, so don't wait. Get the details and make your request today at tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where we have team members standing by day and night to help with your resource requests. Again, dial 1-800-800-3222. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain there are two parts to revival, and being only half revived doesn't get the job done. Right now, though, Jonathan Evans is back to close out today's message with this final thought.
Are you clothed in the righteousness of Christ? Isaiah 61:10 says, I will rejoice in the Lord. Because he has clothed me with garments of salvation, and he has given me a robe of righteousness. Revelation 19:8 says, her garments were like fine linen, and the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. My question is simple. God clothed Adam and his wife with garments of skins. God provided the provision. He took the skins and gave it to them as a testimony. Is your life a testimony? Are people looking at you and saying, oh yeah, the only reason why they live is because Jesus Christ died.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.